Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the conversion of Manasseh as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, verse 10. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people. They would not hearken. And the final thing is, as though God spoke to them. God sent the prophets to them. God warned them. They would not listen to God. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, or literally the rings, and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. He sought Yahweh his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. Up to the age of 12, he had had a good example. He was taught in the ways of the Lord. Up until the age of 12, he worshiped Yahweh in the temple with the family, with his father. He knew of God. His was a deliberate rebellion against the God that he knew. His was a deliberate turning himself over to the passions and the lust of his own flesh, turning away from God. And he continued in that pattern until he went into captivity. And to me, it's amazing how these things can take possession of a person and take them as a captive. Pornography can just take you as a captive and make you a slave. Perverted sex has a way of taking a person captive, coming involved in that area, and you get to where you can't quit. It holds you in a vice grip. His captivity was more than just in a spiritual sense. It became in a physical sense, and it usually follows. And there in Babylon, in great affliction, he sought the Lord and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. It is interesting to me that when a person is in real difficulty, when it becomes a life and death situation, they know that their only hope for help is in the living God. And you that have been witnessing to them, and they've been laughing at you, they've been mocking, they've been scorning, they've been calling you all kinds of names, Holy Joe, and asking you to roll, and so they can see a holy roller, you know, and they are just saying all kinds of cutting kind of things. It's amazing how when they're in trouble, you're the one they'll call, because they know that they need more than what they've been following after. He prayed unto him, and to me, the amazing thing of the story is that God heard him and God forgave him. He prayed unto him, and God was entreated of him and heard his supplication. And God brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. And then Manasseh knew that Yahweh was God. God not only heard his prayer, he restored to him that which he lost through that life of sin. I see people going into sin, and I see them losing their freedoms. I see them becoming slaves to drugs. I see their lives being destroyed by the drugs. I see them becoming slaves to alcohol, and their lives being destroyed by their alcohol. I see them becoming slaves to their sexual desires, and I see their sexual desires destroying their families, their relationships, everything that is precious and good. And yet they seem to be bound by these fetters and can't be released. And yet I see them as they finally get to the place of desperation and they call unto God. And I've seen God deliver them and restore to them that which was lost. When Mike McIntosh first came to Calvary Chapel, he had blown his mind with LSD. He went around in a daze. He didn't really have his full senses about him. He had gone through a very traumatic experience in a group of people, LSD advocates, and they had given him a strong dose of LSD, and then they began, as he began to go into this freaky state, they began to sort of terrorize him. And this one fellow in the group pulled out this gun. And they held Mike on the floor, and the one guy put the gun next to his ear and blasted the thing into the floor. And Mike, in his altered state of consciousness under the LSD, thought that they actually had blown out the back of his head and his brains were blown out. And he was walking around talking about this hole in the back of his head. He was convinced that the back of the head was blown off, and you couldn't convince him otherwise. And he walked around in this altered state of consciousness. He went over the edge and he couldn't seem to come back. But I saw the glorious work of God, the power of God in restoring Mike's sanity to him. During these experiences in drugs and during this life in drugs, he went out and just burned his bridges. His wife and beautiful little daughter, she couldn't handle it anymore. She said, "I've had enough," and she left Mike, wanting never to see him again. But when God began to work and restore Mike, I had the glorious privilege of remarrying Mike and Sandy with their little girl as the flower girl in the wedding. God restored. God gave him back. He made a mess of things. He'd become a slave. God restored and God gave him back that which was lost through that little trek into the other side that he took in the realm of sin and darkness, dabbling into the world of the spirits. Manasseh prayed. He cried unto the Lord. God heard him. God brought him back. God restored the kingdom to him. Oh, the riches of the grace of God. How unsearchable are his ways. How far they are beyond our finding out. Who hath known the ways of the Lord? Who hath searched the depths of his love and his riches of grace towards man? A God who is willing to forgive such a man as Manasseh would forgive anybody. I mean, the story tells me there's no one beyond hope. Manasseh had gone as far as anybody could possibly go. And yet God restored him. God brought him back. And God restored his kingdom to him. And God will do the same for you. If he would do it for Manasseh, he'll do it for you. Call upon the Lord. If you'll seek the Lord, God can heal. God can deliver. God can take you out of the slavery, and God can restore to you that which you've lost as the result of your dabbling into that area, that nether world. Now after this, he built a wall outside of the city of David on the west side of the Gihon Valley, even to the entering into the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it to a very great height, and he put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. Not only did God restore him, God made him strong, and the kingdom began to be restored under Manasseh, strengthening the kingdom. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He got rid of all of this pagan trappings that he had brought in. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and he sacrificed thereon the peace offerings and the thank offerings. Oh, how thankful he was for what God had done, and how thankful he should be. His life was as good as gone. It was destroyed, and yet God restored. And thus he's approaching God, peace offerings, thank offerings. And he commanded Judah to serve Yahweh, the God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did continue to sacrifice in the high places, only not to the pagan gods anymore. They made their sacrifices unto Yahweh in the high places. But God didn't ordain that, and God didn't order that. Now, it is interesting to me that many times we want to worship God in our terms. And there are many people that are seeking to worship God in ways that have not been ordained by God. In fact, they're seeking to worship God in sort of pagan rituals, only we'll put the name Jesus to the pagan ritual. So Ishtar, the pagan holiday, which actually comes from, Ishtar is the Greek Asherim or Ashtoreth, the female sex goddess, Ishtar. And her celebration came in the spring, celebration of new life. And so we say, well, we will celebrate Easter, which comes directly from Ishtar in the spring. So we want to just Christianize the thing. Worshiping God in ways that God did not ordain. So people get the bunnies. They color the eggs. And they follow the pagan practices. Only now under the guise of Jesus rose from the dead. If we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, great, let's do it. But let's leave out the colored eggs. Let's leave out the bunnies. Let's leave out the pagan aspects of it. And let's just on the first day of the week rejoice that Jesus rose from the dead. And it's good to have memorials and reminders. God established those with Israel. But let's not do it with pagan trappings. Here are the people worshiping now Jehovah, but they're worshiping in these same high places where they had worshiped the other gods, following the pagan practices, worshiping God in unprescribed ways. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of Jehovah, God of Israel, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel. So we do have another account in the book of the kings of Israel of some of these things of Manasseh. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all of his sins and his trespass, and the places wherein he built the high places, set up the Asherim and the graven images before he was humbled. And behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. We don't have any of those. So Manasseh slept with his fathers. They buried him in his own house, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 2 years in Jerusalem, and listen, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. He humbled not himself before the Lord as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Amon trespassed more and more, only got worse. And so his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all those that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now, with Amon, you see, we read concerning Manasseh, he took the idols and all, and he put them out of the city, but he didn't destroy them. When the children of Israel came into the land, God ordered them to utterly destroy all the idols. Why? Because these Asherim were pornographic types of little images. God said, utterly destroy them. Get rid of them. He didn't. He just put them in the rubbish heap outside of town. He put them in the city dump. And so when Amon, his son, became king, he went out and recovered these idols and all that his dad had made, brought them back and began to worship them. In the next king, Josiah, as he reforms, we find that he ground these things to powder, obliterated them, as was the commandment of the Lord. So here the incomplete kind of thing. Manasseh, yes, God heard him, God restored, and he got rid of the idols, but not completely. And thus his son followed in the path of his dad, in the path of evil more and more, reigned for only 2 years, was assassinated. But oh, what lessons to learn. God help us to take to heart these things and to learn from these things. My heart is deeply concerned for what I observe in our nation today. Deeply concerned over the traceable trends, seeing the diabolical deception of Satan, which first led into the existential philosophy, our buying into that garbage, which then opened these other doors, set the minds of the people to move into these other directions. That destroying of the absolutes, denying of God, denying the Word of God as being an absolute. We follow the progression and we see history being repeated. But being an observer of history and of the Word of God, I know what the next step is, you see. Man has taken the last step down. The next step is judgment. Paul the Apostle said, "For the wrath of God shall be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness." You see, it isn't a denial of God. That is not what's happening. But it's the holding of the truth of God in unrighteousness. For when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, but became vain in their wicked imaginations. And their foolish hearts being darkened, they began to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. What are we hearing today? Man's worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator. It's the power within you. It's tapping that source of power that is within. You see, it's worshiping the creature more than the Creator. It's getting your attention upon yourself, loving yourself, esteeming yourself. And the thing that really disturbs me is how that this garbage has permeated the church. And the next step is captivity, judgment, affliction. But my heart aches when I look at the world and the trends and the things that are going on, and I think, it's not hopeless. In this whole context, God said, "If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear." But it's time, folks, that we really begin to pray as we've never prayed before. Pray for our nation. Pray for our community. Pray for our children. Pray for our grandchildren. Pray for this world that is on the brink of destruction. For the God who heard Manasseh will hear us. But you see, as I observe, the real problem is, though the world is in a desperate strait, the church is not desperate. I have a nice home, I have a nice car, I've got a good job. And I'm not desperate before God because I'm not clearly seeing the things that are taking place. I'm not putting them in perspective. So God help us. And may you take time this week in seeking God, in prayer, that God might bring revival, spiritual renewal, such as we have never seen before. It's the only hope, the only hope.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with The Reign of Josiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord teach us His ways, that He might bring us into His place of victory. Those things He longs to do for us because He loves us. And thus, as the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him, may God give us that heart perfect completely towards Him, that He can do for us those things He desires to do. Oh, how I long to be the man God wants me to be, a heart that is perfect towards Him. May God grant that desire in our prayer, in Jesus' name.
Study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a new, digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's 323 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on an 8-gig reusable flash drive. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer's USB drive. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto a key ring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. Or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.